Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Yeah, the big debt is my student loans, and the interest rate's obviously higher than our mortgage, so we're trying to like be smart and pay that one first more than anything. My student loan number is $48,000, which makes me feel sad, but that it is.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I just wanted to give a shout out for anyone who is interested in being a guest. It is completely anonymous, so we'll let you choose a fake name and we will hide identifiable information so you can come on the show and share freely. It is a full hour to an hour and a half with me, Barbara, and we'll do a deep dive on your finances, where you're doing well, where maybe you're struggling, and come up with a game plan for how to reach your financial goals. To be a guest, you just need to put a submission in either on Instagram or on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com. And you just need to be a female. As we've said before, this podcast is produced with Amy, Alex, and myself. So an all-female team. And our goal is to help improve financial education amongst women. So that is why we interview women about their finances. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in being a guest, please put in a submission on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com, or send us a message on Instagram.
Thank you so much for listening to the Future Rich podcast. This is part one of a two-part episode. Part two will air next Friday, June 20th.
Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast Future Rich. I am your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I am here with my guest today, Maud. Hi, Maud.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. So would you like to tell myself and then also our listeners a little bit about yourself? So age, location, job, income, all that jazz.
Yeah. So I'm 31 years old. I live in Pennsylvania. I work in healthcare. And oh gosh, I already forgot the last question.
Oh, how much do you make?
Oh, I make about $100,000 a year.
Okay. So you're 31, you live in Pennsylvania, you're working in healthcare, and you make $100,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Perfect. And then are you married, single, partnered?
Yeah, so I'm engaged. So we have been together. Yeah, so we've been together for like 7 years, and we finally got around to like doing the whole wedding thing. And so we have a date for next September for our wedding day. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. So September 2027?
2020, actually, 2026. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yes, you're right.
No, you're
sorry.
Good.
It's early here. Okay. September 2026. Oh, that's exciting.
I know. We're so excited. I mean, it's like, you know, like stressful, but in a good way.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And I work so much for my job. Like, it is overwhelming to think about where I'm going to find time. But luckily, like, I'm obviously a planner. That's probably why I'm on the show. But, like, you know, we have time to kind of, like, work out all the kinks between now and then. So it's all good.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing when you need to do something, you find the time. And then when it's done, you'll be like, how did I do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I often wonder that.
Yeah. And like, what exactly do you do in healthcare?
So I'm a nurse practitioner. So I was previously a nurse and worked like since I was like 20, you know, one or two in the field. Like that was my first job coming out of college. And then I went back to school oh gosh, probably like 4 years ago now, because school took me 3 years because I did it part time and I worked as a nurse and like also went to school. And so this is actually my second year in the field. So I'm really, really new at it. But yeah, it's been crazy.
That's great. That's a great job.
Yeah. It's a wonderful job. I'm really happy. I'm still learning the ropes. So I'm putting in tons and tons of hours, but it's, you know, good.
That's why I asked what you did in healthcare when you said I have a lot of hours.
Yeah. And I think it's mostly a me problem. Like once I figure it out, maybe I'll work less. But until then, I just have to kind of like keep, you know, moving forward.
Right. Getting on solid ground more with the new position.
Exactly.
And then what about your fiance? What does he do?
Yeah. So he's actually a carpenter. So that has been wonderful in our life because he's been able to like fix our house that we have and do so many like things for us, just like the day-to-day things that come up, like if there's like a pipe issue or anything, like he's just so handy. He built like a little garden out in the backyard the other day, so it's like wonderful having his skills to help.
That's incredible. And how much does he make, give or take?
So
is he self-employed
he works for a small business and they mainly do remodeling of like, you know, homes that already exist. So there's only like a handful of guys in the company and he makes like $66,000 a year with an annual bonus that varies. And it really just depends on like their revenue because the company's small. So they all get like a little piece of the pie at the end of the year, which is nice based on the work that they do.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Okay,
perfect. Yeah, so that's really nice.
Well, do you want to walk me through? So a lot of life things happening. Do you want to walk me through your income and expenses and how you split it with your fiance, or if you do?
Yeah, so that's kind of like the part that kind of makes my head spin. I feel like we've been together for a while. We have been doing like split finances, but also together. And we've bought a house in the last 3 years. So it's like getting harder and harder to have separate accounts. I don't know. There's all sorts of different like perspectives on that. But I like we started just kind of splitting the bills when we were renting together. We were going down the line. We were doing half and half. And then we got the house and then I started basically like paying him rent because the mortgage is in his name, even though we're both on the deed.
Why is the mortgage just in his? Yeah. Why is the mortgage just in his name?
So when we bought the house, I was in school
and you had no income.
Yes, exactly. And I was making some money, but
not enough. It wouldn't have made sense.
Exactly. Yeah. It wouldn't have made sense. It would have probably dinged us, I think. Maybe it wouldn't have, but we thought about it and we went back and forth and he was like, I'll just do it. Like you have your student loans. Like, and so that's how we worked it out.
Okay. So
we don't really have a good reason for that.
No, the good reason is that you didn't have a W-2 job at the time or you didn't, you were in school.
Yeah, I was between jobs. There was times I was not making any money. There was times I was making like money short term. So yeah
the mortgage people don't like that.
Yeah, we thought that they wouldn't. We had a feeling.
You were right, they don't. They like W-2 consistent income. I had clients and they were entrepreneurs and they just finished a project and sold it and made a lot of money and then they were looking to buy a house and they couldn't get a mortgage. They had tons of money but the bank doesn't care how much money you have in the bank. They just want you to have income, right?
Yeah.
Because you're borrowing their money. So they want to know that you have income to support it. So yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So the deed is in both names. So you both technically own the house. But you own, but you don't own the debt in theory, but you're paying. Okay. That was situational.
I pay him every month.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. And so you bought the house 3 years ago. What did you buy the house for?
So our house was really cheap, which is also why, I mean, cheap, you know, it's a house, but for a house, I think it was cheap, but we did that because he was planning to fix it up. So we've also like put aside money to put into the house, but the house itself went for $127,000.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yes. And our interest rate is almost like embarrassing to talk about in this day and age, but it's 2.83% for a 30-year fixed. So,
amazing. You nailed it. I mean, everyone listening is going to be like, where in Pennsylvania do you live? Because I would like to buy a house.
Well, I mean, it's like kind of, it was kind of a steal, you know, like even around here, like houses are a little bit more than that just a few years later. So I don't know. We got lucky, but if we couldn't, we wouldn't have bought it if he couldn't fix it up. So it wasn't in like beautiful shape when we bought it, but he's made it look nice.
That's amazing. Yeah. Having a handy partner is very nice because, as you know, everything with a house costs money. Like,
oh my gosh. And since we bought the house, I mean, I asked him yesterday, I was like, how much do you think we've put into this house so far? And he's like, probably like 30 grand. So we knew it needed like extra money when we bought it.
Right. And if he's doing the work himself, then 30 grand to other people would have been probably 60 or 70 with the markup for labor.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's like slowly trudging through all the projects, but like, we don't have like outlet covers on some of our outlets. Like there's a few holes in our walls, but I just can't be bothered about all that.
Yeah. Eventually you'll get there. Cause he's doing it right. Nights and he's doing it nights and weekends. Right.
So exactly. When
he gets done, yeah. So he has like two jobs. He has his regular job where he does carpentry and then he comes home and does.
No, he's a saint.
Carpentry.
He's just such a saint.
Amazing. I didn't ask how old he is. So you're 31 and how old is he?
He's 29. We're 2 years apart.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Okay, so then do you want to run me through your income and like maybe just break it down? Like, is it just your income or because it sounds like you have separate accounts for most stuff and then some joint accounts?
I know it's a mess. And I feel like that's why I wanted to like talk to you because we try to split the groceries too.
Okay.
I don't even know how I could explain this, but basically our expenses like fixed every month. We pay like $900 for the mortgage because it's so low. And then there's the utilities, which are like $600, we think. We looked and got some averages for like our sewage, our electric, our gas. So we average it around like $600 a month, and then internet and phones like $200. He bundles his homeowners and car insurance, so that's like $300 a month. I pay my car insurance, so that's like $120 a month. We have a bunch of subscriptions, and we pay for a gym membership that we don't even have time to use anymore. So all of those together are like $200 a month. And then he, unfortunately, through his job, the only real big downfall of his small company thing is that he has to pay for his own health insurance. And since we're not married yet, like he's paying through the marketplace. So his health insurance is a huge bill every month. It's like $375.
Yeah, expensive.
So that's part of the reason we're like, should we get married on paper sooner and get rid of that bill and get him on my insurance? I don't know, but probably the answer is yes.
It's personal preference. I mean, you're going to get married anyway in 2026. And so some people say there's nothing different about the piece of paper. And then other people tell you that it feels very different once you have the piece of paper versus not having it. So I would say it's personal preference. But from a financial standpoint, if it doesn't matter to you to do the formality, right, the legal aspect of the wedding, where legally you're married, because then it's going to change your taxes too, besides the health insurance. You'll be married filing joint versus filing single.
Which I haven't even thought of understanding quite yet.
It's easy. We'll go, we can talk about, it's just two different brackets. So for you, it's going to be better. For him, it's not as good, but that's
okay.
It should be, let's see. Well, we'll talk about that at the end. We'll come back to the tax difference.
Okay.
But yeah, for you, it doesn't make a difference, then it would save you $370. Because what do you pay for health insurance? What would it be for him to be on yours?
Oh, gosh. I can pull up that information. I think I have what I pay for my health insurance every month. I pay like, for just me, it's like $75 a paycheck. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. So that's $150 probably a month. Do you get paid twice a month or?
Twice a month, yeah.
So, okay, yep. So it's $150 a paycheck. So then you would just have to look to see what the family plan costs.
Right, which I think is a tiny bit more. Like it's not just double. It's like a little bit extra, I think. So it's probably like around three.
Okay. So. Yeah, so then if it's another $150 $100, or even if it's $100, you pay $250 a month, right?
Yeah.
Another $100 on your side, then it would save you $275 a month, or save him.
Which is like a lot.
Yeah, which is a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't, you know, I really stick in finance, so I can't give you, like, if you feel comfortable getting married early for the health insurance. Right. Another year and a half isn't going to make or break you, probably, but $250 over 18 months, it's something.
Yeah, it's something.
Yeah.
We could use that elsewhere.
Yeah, it works out to be another $4,500 from your budget.
Okay. Yeah, that's something.
Yeah, so something for you two to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some people feel very firmly like that they don't want it to be before their wedding date because that's the date. I'm not in that camp because we did our legal ceremony earlier.
Right.
And then we did the party after. So it's just, it's very personal. I would definitely call that personal preference. I don't think that over your lifetime, $4,500 is going to change the trajectory of your finances.
Okay. That's helpful. I mean, I think I fall in that camp too, but you know, we go back and forth. These are hard decisions to make.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
And there isn't a right or wrong here, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what makes it hard to make the decision.
Yeah, because there's like no definitive. Yeah, it's not like you're right or you're wrong. Yeah, it's personal preference. So whatever works and feels most comfortable for the two of you.
Okay. But yeah, that is a big bill compared to like all of our other stuff every month.
It is a big bill. Yeah, health insurance is expensive when you have to go get it on your own, for sure.
Right.
Okay, so yours is $150, and then his. And then what other bills do you have? I know you said the gym that you're not using.
Yep. Subscriptions. I like kind of loop those together. I feel like those are the main like big monthly bills that I could think of.
What about food?
Then we have like the variable expenses, like groceries. We do spend a lot on groceries. We love Costco. He eats a lot because he's, you know, like working so hard
physically. Yeah.
But we probably spend like $600 a month on groceries, I'd guess.
Okay.
And then we do like for transport, for like gas, I guess I put like $150. And then we do like to spend like some extra cash with like our friends going out to eat and just going to concerts or whatever. So I put like $300 in like the fun category a month. And sometimes I do like spend more money than others certain months shopping.
Sure.
On like clothes and makeup, like all of it is so expensive. So I just put like $200 in the shopping category because sometimes I go to Target too.
I know Target is so dangerous. You never leave with what you want.
Months where I won't shop at all, and I'm probably spending like way less than that. But then if I do go to Target one month, I'm probably spending like way more than that. So it's hard to quantify.
Okay, so we'll put down $200 for that.
And I couldn't think like other like categories beyond. I told you internet and phone too. Okay.
So I have down for including his health insurance for the fixed, approximately $2,800 in expenses.
Yeah, that's what I got.
That's what you have. Okay. And then for the variable, I have down $1,250.
Yeah, about.
Okay. Give or take.
And then we have a dog too. And we actually pay a dog walker to come hang out with him 3 times a week. So I think monthly we give her about like $300.
Okay, so that's a big one. Okay, so that will bring it up to, we'll just say $1,600 for a variable. Okay.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them. And guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
And then, so we threw your fiance's car insurance in there and his health insurance but none of his other bills. So walk me through how, like, what you have coming in a month and then what he has coming in a month and then how you're divvying it up. I'd be curious.
Yeah, we're not. It's a hot mess. Lee, every month I think I net like $4,400. So like a lot of my expenses for retirement and like health insurance and everything comes out before that hits my account. For him, he just like pays his those bills after, and he brings in like $3,860 a month.
Okay.
So how we're divvying it up is like I'm basically just giving him money every month to try to cover, and it changes. So like on months where like we spend more on groceries or dining out, like I just send him more money, and which sounds so stupid saying out loud, but I like give him like a fixed amount every month of like $600. And like some months I'll give him an extra like few hundred. Like this year we replaced our furnace, so we like are splitting the furnace bill in half, and so I'm giving him like installment payments for towards the furnace.
So you give him $600 a month?
I do, yeah.
And then, because that's mainly for the mortgage and the utilities, because it's not half of your expenses.
Oh, wait, okay. I give him $600 a month because I pay my student loans, and we haven't got there yet. But that's part of the reason, because we're trying to prioritize paying off my student loans at some point in the future. So I'm definitely not giving him half. But when we do like make bigger purchases, like I
then
give
you
him
do
extra, and I could like send him like $1,000 one month or something. You know what I mean? Like depending on what we're doing.
So yeah, then let's jump over. So you're bringing home $4,400 net, but and you're only or not only, but you're contributing $600 to your fiance for all the bills. So he's carrying all the bills at this point.
I guess he is. Except like we do have like a shared credit card and like the groceries, but I guess he pays on that credit card. But like I pay for like random stuff on my, I don't know. It's just a mess. I don't even think I could explain it better.
Okay.
Like I pay for the subscriptions. I pay for the Peloton. I pay for my own like phone bill, my own insurance.
Okay. Got it. So
like half of those bills I kind of gave you is like shared. I would say I'm paying several of those
on your own.
Okay. On my own. Yeah. Like a lot of the things are in my name.
Got it. Okay. And then in his name is the mortgage, the utilities is his name?
Yeah. He has mortgage and utilities. He has the homeowner's insurance and his car insurance.
Yeah. Okay.
And his health insurance.
And his health insurance. Okay. So he
Which is
that.
Most
and then
of the bills.
Yeah.
It is and most then of them.
Yeah. And then you have your car insurance and then groceries you split.
Yep.
Gas and is yours for your
gas
car.
Gas is actually just mine. Yeah. He gets it through work. Okay. And then dining out and entertainment and shopping, I'd say I pay for most of those bills actually, because I just know that I don't contribute as much. So I try to pick up the slack on those things.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Well, then let's talk about the expenses. Then we can maybe come up with an idea to make this a little more. We could see if we could simplify the.
It's such a mess.
Just to make your life easier.
Yeah.
Okay. So talk to me about this. So it sounds like your biggest debt, because the mortgage is you don't really have a huge mortgage. You have a great interest rate. So is the big debt student loans?
Yeah. The big debt is my student loans. And the interest rate's obviously higher than our mortgage. So we're trying to be smart and pay that one first more than anything. My student loan number is $48,000, which makes me feel sad, but that it is. And my interest rates, like it's kind of varied between different chunks. So there's probably like four different loans with different interest rates between like 4% and 6% ish.
Okay. That's not terrible though.
Okay.
That makes me feel better. Compared to your mortgage, it feels it, I'm sure, but it's not actually that high. I was nervous you were going to say 7% or 8% or 9%.
Okay. No, they're through like FAFSA.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are you paying a month on those?
So given like the student loan pause, I was eligible for the SAVE plan when I signed up for that.
Okay.
And so I've been trying to pay like $600 a month, or actually I think I've been able to put like more like $800 a month over the last few years towards them. So they were a lot higher before.
Okay, so you paid through the pause. So you were still working on reducing them.
I was trying. I would say like the first like 6 months of my job, I was not paying as regularly. Like I wouldn't, because I was on the SAVE plan. So I was just doing that to try to stay ahead of it. But there were definitely months that I didn't pay at all. And then there were months that I paid more. So it's been kind of like variable. But for the last like 6 months steadily, I would say I've been able to put like $800 a month towards them.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Probably because I'm not paying Andrew as much as he should have.
So let's see. So you're putting $800 a month towards it, for, you know, $48,000 left.
Yeah, so I was exactly like in the 60s at first, I feel. Like,
oh, wow.
Close
okay.
to 60. So I've been able to dump in a lot.
Yeah. And at so around $800 a month, you'll pay them off in about 5 years from now.
How many?
So, but I do have a 5, 60 months.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have a question. With your job, do you work? Would you qualify for the public service loan forgiveness?
I would. And I like moved jobs last year. So I'm only like probably less than a year into this new job where I would qualify. The other one I did not. So I was wondering if it would make sense to do that or not for me. If I could like aggressively pay them down, I didn't know if what would be better.
Well, gosh, it's hard to say. So walk me through like what the wedding's going to go on, because you can technically you can afford to make these large payments and get it paid off a lot faster than 10 years.
Right.
So let's just we'd have to see like what would you end up paying, because you'd only have to qualify this past year, right? And then you'd have 9 years left to go.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So that would put you at 40, which I know sounds ancient. So let's see. There is I taught a consumer that. Let me just see. Let me see if I can pull this up real fast. There is a really cool interactive chart, and I taught a class about it, and I just don't remember. We taught a class on student loans for the public library system of Chicago, and yeah, it was great. Let me just see if I can find this class on my desktop. Okay. And then there's there's an interactive website, and you can put in and you'll see how much you'll end up paying on all the different options. And I think
that's nice.
Yeah. So that would be really interesting. So actually my slide shows me almost your exact scenario. It's a little off. It's about $10,000 off, but it says if you did the public loan service forgiveness, and this is using an example of $37,000, you would end up paying $31,000 over the 10 years. And then it's saying with paying extra, you would end up paying, this is a debt of 37, you would end up paying it off in 7.6 years and end up paying $46,000. Let's see if we can run this real quick. So just be curious. I guess we can use an average interest rate for you to see what, let me pull this up. So it's consumerreports.org, and it's called, the calculator is called Costing It Out. Oh, but they won't let you put in your actual balance. Oh, that's sad. It shows you that, I know, wouldn't that be great if you could like put in your balance and your interest rate? So
yeah, because I've been trying to figure this out for years. Like I've been trying to figure out what to do.
So the tricky thing is you make good money, right? You're making six figures. And so I'm just not sure. We'd have to look at it. And I wish I was a genie and could do this that quickly. But what it would come down to is figuring out approximately what you would be paying on the income-based, right? Whatever option you choose. Because remember, the public service loan forgiveness, you're going to use one of the income plans. So it's going to be based on your income. So you would then want to be most likely doing married filing separate, or to get the qualification of your income just being judged at 100 and not married filing joint at 160, unless they give you credit for your spouse. That's more of a tax question, really. But basically, okay, what you would want to do is get an estimate for what would you be paying monthly on the public loan service forgiveness. So would your payment be, in theory, $300 a month for 10 years, right?
Right.
And then it's forgiven. The other thing, because if it's $300 a month for 10 years, that's 120 payments, you would end up spending $36,000, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Versus, let's say you're going to pay $800 a month for 60 months, which is 5 years, you're going to end up spending $48,000. Now, that's the math answer. So you would just determine what is your least cost to pay back the loan, and you can go with that. Now, okay, what I would say is the other flip side of that is it depends on your life plans. And if you're opposed to having the debt for 10 years and you say, you know what, I'm okay with spending a bit more because the difference is $10,000 over 5 years. So I would rather just be done in five, mm-hmm, at 36, mm-hmm, versus 40, 41. And, you know, time is money. And then once I'm done with that, then that money can be invested differently. And it gives me 5 extra years to use those payments towards something else.
Okay. Yeah, that's helpful. I was like unable to think about it, you know, just reading about it.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense.
And also, like, you might say, I don't want to be tied to this job because your prior job didn't qualify. I don't want, right, to be tied to this job. I want to have the flexibility to leave when I want to leave, right? And do what I want to do. And I'd rather just bite the bullet and pay it off. It's not going to save me money by doing it, right? You'd save money by doing public loan forgiveness. But, mm-hmm, I want to be debt-free by 36. That's my goal. I want to not have to, maybe I want to go in private practice, right? At my goal, right, is to do something different and not work for a qualifying employer.
Right. Right.
Those are the, yeah, other questions you have to ask yourself, because it's important to look at the math. And I would look at the math still so that you're making an informed decision. So you're saying, okay, I'm giving up, you know, by not doing public loan forgiveness, I'm going to lose out on $10,000, right? I would, mm-hmm, save $10,000 by doing it. But then you say, okay, but my life goals are, I only really want to be with this employer for 5 years. I want to be debt free by the time I hit, you know, my mid 30s. And so that is more important to me than saving $10,000.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's how definitely something I think about.
So that's how you'd weigh it out. Because I talk to people who would say, I love my job and I hope to retire from here. Well, then obviously that would be like, okay, well, then you should probably go that route.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's super helpful.
Okay, good. So I would talk to your fiance about it because it impacts both of you. Because I'm going to talk to you about like maybe how we like combine your money, mm-hmm, a little bit. So, and I wouldn't rush to make a decision because if you decide to go public loan service forgiveness and then you don't do it, right, it's going to be a lot worse, your situation.
Right.
So you have to commit to the 10 years and you have to qualify it every year and you got to stick with it. Because what's going to happen is if you do that and then you decide 5 years in, like, I have this really amazing job opportunity and I can't turn it down, your loans will have grown and be a lot larger at that point.
Right.
And you will no longer qualify. So you end up paying back more debt.
Right.
That would be that. So the absolute worst case is you start down that path and then you quit or end, mm-hmm, like end early. And that would be very bad.
Okay. Yeah, that's something to consider because I'm still like new in the job and I think I would, mm-hmm, want to be here, but I'm not exactly sure.
Sure. You
know?
Yeah.
Who knows what the next 10 years will bring. So
I know. So I see people go either way. Like I definitely have seen people just bite the bullet and pay their loans because they don't want to have to worry about where they're going to be in 10 years. Right.
Yeah.
Because they want to have more flexibility. Now there's like, and then I have the other people who are like, you know, in a qualifying school and they have no intention of ever leaving that school. That's the plan. Not to say that life doesn't throw you curveballs. So right, they go down that path. So I think it's just important to consider the options. Kind of like what I said, there's like the math decision and then the personal decision. It's the same thing with like getting the marriage license earlier versus not. Right. And you could even say like the way we're going to compromise around this is we're going to get the marriage license earlier because we're going to save $250 a month. We'll put that extra savings towards the loans so that you're doing $1,000 a month, right?
Yeah.
And then that $1,000 a month gets you down to, you know, 48 months, right?
Okay.
To get it paid off.
I know. Like, it would be so nice to just be done with debt, you know, early. I don't know that, like, everybody has that opportunity. It just feels really nice to be able to, like, do that.
My opinion, having talked to you here for 45 minutes, was that given that you have very good income and you don't really have any other debt, you have a very low mortgage and you have flexibility and you're new in this profession, there's a lot you can do as a nurse practitioner. You don't necessarily have to work for a qualifying institution. You know, there's a lot of roles for nurse practitioners that wouldn't qualify, that would be maybe very interesting for you or something you would like, or where you could increase your earning potential. So the vibe I got from you was kind of, if you guys sit down and do a household meeting about it, is probably maybe commit and get it paid off in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And be done.
Yeah. He hates debt.
I had a feeling.
Yeah. He hates it. So I think we probably would end up doing that, even though it might be the more expensive option. We also really like to be able to, like, what if we want to, like, move or, yeah.
Yeah. Time is money, right? And so when you're looking at just what do you pay the least amount, that is your longer time to hold the debt, though. So time is money. If you get it paid off in 3 and 4 years, like, especially if you know, did the health insurance thing where you're saving $250 a month and you put that towards the student loans, you're paying over $1,000 a month towards student loans. With that plan, you'd be done in 4 years. And that means 6 years without a debt payment, which means for 6 years, if you were saving, let's just say you took that 6 years and you put that $1,050 towards something else over 6 years, which works out to be, how many months is that? Let's see, times 12. So if you were investing that money, you would end up with an account. Well, if it was a bank account, you'd end up with $75,000 saved instead.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. So there's the flip side. By having it paid off early and you're just, now it's part of your budget. And then if you said, we're going to use the 10 years, the first 4 years, we're paying off the debt with this number. And the next 6 years, we're investing it. Time is of value, right? The longer you put your money away, the more time you have, the more valuable it is.
Right. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. And it, once again, personal, like, I see people do the public loan forgiveness and it goes really well. But if he's against debt and you don't love it and you're not sure where you're going to be or what you're going to do and you have the ability to, you could probably tackle it very quickly.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you so much for listening to the Future Rich podcast. This is part one of a two-part episode. Part two will air next Friday, June 20th.
Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.